Our next speaker really needs no introduction. He has been at every Bob Fest since the very beginning. He is our hometown hero. You've seen him on MSNBC. You hear him on the radio. You read him in the Capital Times and the Nation magazine. Please join me in welcoming John Nichols.
All right. All right. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. You just heard a prophetic message from my friend, my comrade, Kevin Alexander Gray. One more round of applause for Kevin Alexander Gray. Where's our man? Where's our man? Kevin Alexander Gray. Brothers and sisters, Kevin, I want you to know, you just spoke to the longest serving state legislator in the entire United States. You just spoke to State Senator Fred Risser. Oh yeah, that's right. Brothers and sisters, I don't even know if Kevin Alexander Gray, he knows his history so well. I don't know if Kevin knows that when we sent that Wisconsin delegation to the 1964 Democratic National Convention, and when they said at that, oh, we don't have room for the Mississippi Freedom delegates. We don't have room for the delegates from Alabama. We don't have room for the Southerners who are coming in here saying, we want to make real the promise of civil rights. We want to make real the promise of voting rights. Oh, and the Democratic Party itself did not have room for the civil rights campaigners who had come to that convention. And they said, oh, no, there's no chairs on this convention floor. Well, I want you to know that on that Wisconsin delegation that was down there toward the front of that convention hall, Fred Risser was at the microphone with that delegation. He was at the center of that delegation with Bob Kastemeyer, and they said, hey, you Wisconsin delegates, some of you, you hightail it back to the back of the hall. You make some room here for some delegates from Mississippi and Alabama. You make sure there's room on the floor of this convention. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Risser has been at the heart of the Wisconsin struggle for civil rights, for economic justice, and for peace. Brothers and sisters, Fred Risser. Oh man, that's who we are. We are so imperfect. We make so many mistakes. We make so many errors. We have forgotten so many things. But when you go deep back into who we are, when you go deep back into who the people of Wisconsin are, we are the descendants of those kids from Grant County and from Iowa County, from Rock County, from Jefferson County, from Dane County, who when the call came to form units to march into that Civil War, they came and they signed up. And they did not sign up because they said, oh, we want to fight a war. Many of them were religious dissenters. Many of them had come to this country to get away from wars. They didn't sign up because they said, oh, we want to keep the Union together. Oh, that's the only thing that matters to us. No. Wisconsinites went and signed up to fight in the Civil War, to end the original sin of the American experiment, to end human bondage, to end slavery in this country. That is who we are descended from. People say, oh, what should we think about this Black Lives Matter movement? I say, this Black Lives Matter movement is a prophetic movement that extends from all that is good in our traditions. Let us say not just Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives will always matter to Wisconsinites. That is who we should be. That is what we must be. Don't let them drive wedges between us, brothers and sisters. If there is a prophetic movement, let us be a part of it. Let us embrace that movement. Let us raise it up. And let us remember when we gathered in February of 2011, when we gathered at that state capitol, which we could almost see if they weren't building all these high towers here, when we gathered at our state capitol, the rallies of the people, the rallies of the people were held at the King Street entrance of the capitol. And if you went down that long stretch there, you got to that statue of Colonel Haig. Colonel Haig, the Norwegian immigrant who came to the state of Wisconsin and who became our head of prisons for the state of Wisconsin. And when a fugitive slave came running north and finally got across the Wisconsin line, why, Colonel Haig, he would have that fugitive slave arrested. And when the slave catchers came and said, oh, yeah, we'd like to take possession of that slave and take that slave home, Colonel Haig would say, no, I'm sorry, my friend. He's in the possession of the state of Wisconsin now. We can't turn him over to you. And they said, well, no. We want to take these slaves back to the South. And Colonel Haig said, you're a little too late. I deputized some of my men to take them up to Canada. They've gone to freedom because they got to Wisconsin. Brothers and sisters, when Colonel Haig heard there was going to be a civil war, he put out a call for a Scandinavian unit that would take its orders in Norwegian. And they said, why do you want to take the orders in Norwegian? Because if somebody says retreat in English, I don't want anybody to follow that order. We're marching through till we end this sin of slavery. That's who this state came from. Oh, and brothers and sisters, we gathered by that statue of Colonel Haig, and we stood out there on the coldest nights when the snow came down and the winds came up, and night after night, we rallied to say that we will not allow anyone to tell us that a struggle for racial justice is separate from a struggle for economic justice. We will not let anyone tell us that we must divide our prophetic movements. We refuse to be torn apart. We come together in unity. And when I was at that Capitol back in 2011, oh, I love those moments. Christine Newman Ortiz, I don't know if you are still here, but I loved it. I loved it when our struggle in Wisconsin began. And before our unions could figure out what to say about it, before our politicians could figure out what to say about it, Voces de la Frontera, the movement of our immigrants, had a statement out saying, we stand in solidarity with our public workers and with our unions against Scott Walker. Do you understand what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters? Our immigrant community, our people who are most under attack, we're the first to rise up and say, this struggle is right and we will be in the front lines. Oh, I was at that Capitol. I remember one time at that Capitol, I'm upstairs and I saw this wonderful group of Hmong immigrants who had come down from La Crosse and Eau Claire. And some of them didn't even speak a lot of English. Some of them were older folks, but they had heard there was a struggle, not simply for union rights, but a struggle to maintain public programs, a struggle to maintain the public sphere, to maintain public services for all citizens. And they said, yes, we are a part of that struggle because we are Hmong immigrants and we are Wisconsinites. Do you understand what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters? They keep trying to divide us. They keep trying to tell us, oh, this is one struggle, this is another struggle. No. The Wisconsin uprising was not an uprising for labor rights. The Wisconsin uprising was an uprising against austerity, against attacks on the public sector, against attacks on public education, against attacks on all that we do together to create a better society. And I love every one of you for standing up and joining that struggle and saying, no, we won't let it happen in our state of Wisconsin. That's not who we are. We don't accept your sin. We don't accept your wrongheaded stuff. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the truth of our struggle. It goes on now. And I know some people say, yeah, but you didn't win every fight. Everything didn't turn out perfectly for you. You didn't do the recall right. You didn't defeat this candidate or that candidate. And I always say to them, I am sorry that our struggle wasn't convenient for you. Because the fact of the matter is, if you're involved in a real struggle, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to ask for more than anybody wants to give you. And when you ask for more than anybody wants to give you, sometimes they're going to knock you down and push you away and push you back. And sometimes they are going to defeat you. It is going to suck. No, it's painful. You don't want to get beat. You don't want to lose. But then one morning, you're going to wake up. And it may take a year, it may take 2 years, but one morning you're going to wake up and you're going to see a poll out of New Hampshire. And you're going to say, I didn't even know New Hampshire was a part of the Wisconsin struggle. I didn't even know it was a part of our uprising. But you're going to see a poll out of New Hampshire that shows Scott Walker at 1% of the vote. And you're going to see in that same poll that Bernie Sanders is at 43% of the vote. And when you see that Bernie Sanders is beating Scott Walker by a 43-1 margin, you are going to say to yourself, yeah, maybe we at Fighting Bob Fest were the first to be correct. Maybe we figured this guy out before anybody else. But now there are conservative and Republicans in Iowa and New Hampshire that are hearing the story of what he did in Wisconsin, and they are saying, I am sorry, I don't want any of that in charge of America. Brothers and sisters, I apologize for the struggle being long. I apologize for it being hard. But I will not apologize for the fact that we were right in the first place. We were right about Scott Walker. We were right about austerity. We were right that it matters to stand up for labor unions. We were right to believe that labor rights are human rights. That labor rights are human rights. And we are right to believe that when we come together in community and unity and solidarity, we build something stronger and better than Donald Trump or Carly Fiorina or any corporate CEO will ever build. And you know what else was right? I'll tell you what else was right. When nobody was paying attention to us, when hardly anybody cared. Why, some days it felt like it was just Terry Fritter and me out there. Sometimes it felt like it was just Sue and Tom Holmes and me out there. Sometimes I wasn't there, but Sue and Tom and Terry were there. Sometimes all of you were there, but it didn't seem like anybody was paying attention. And then, amazingly enough, we would tune our radio in. We'd go searching there for 92.1. And sometimes at night, amazingly enough, we'd get home after a long day of protest and a long day of rallying, and we'd flip that clicker at our television. Well, first we'd figure out how to use the two clickers, and then finally we'd click it, and we'd go CNN. Oh, no, that's not any good. No, that's a good CNBC. No, I'm not getting anything out of that. We'd go, okay, Fox. Oh, my gosh, no. Not that. And then finally we'd land on MSNBC. And I'm not telling you MSNBC is perfect, but on those nights there was something perfect because there was this guy from up in North Dakota. Oh my gosh, he was a big guy. He was a tall guy. He looked like a football player. He could have played on this field right here. And this guy from North Dakota, he would tell our story every night. And the amazing thing about it was he couldn't resist our struggle. And so he got those cameras. He got those crews out of New York City. He said, come on, we're going to Madison. We're going to tell the story from the streets in Madison. Brothers and sisters, I write books about media. I write books about how our media damages our democracy. But sometimes in the midst of all that hell, there's a little bit of heaven. Sometimes in the midst of all that decay, there's something wonderful growing up. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, when Ed Schultz showed up here in Madison, Wisconsin, something wonderful happened. This whole country tuned into our struggle. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the tribune of our struggle, Ed Schultz.